You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Dane Moore, is there a better way to announce that you're coming back than breaking boards in a karate class? Because that's what Kawhi Leonard did.
I suppose that works. I'm excited to have Kawhi Leonard back in the NBA. I feel like we have had some recency bias in the NBA media, doing some rankings so far this season, and Kawhi Leonard's name has fallen off the list when he was like an MVP candidate last season. So it's always good to have Kawhi in the NBA. It's good for the NBA.
I'm really excited to have him back just because he's such a good two-way player. He's really fun to watch. I also like his personality. He seems like a good guy. But yeah, he literally said, I saw this in an SB Nation story. I saw the news broke by Bleacher Report as well. But he literally said, we're going to chop him up, and then he proceeded to break boards in a cry class. And I thought it was actually a kid's cry class until I realized, no, Kawhi Leonard's just really crazy big, and these are adults that he's standing next to and making them look like children. But it was crazy. It was quite the comeback video. If you're the Spurs, are you a little nervous that he's doing karate as part of his kind of rehab back to get into the basketball?
I think there's a lot worse things you can be doing off the NBA floor than karate. But I guess, yeah, anything that could injure you, that's not good. But I trust Kawhi's all right.
That's good. We're just happy to have him back. And I think there's a lot of people, especially in San Antonio, happy to see him back. Getting to Timberwolves news, they play tonight against the 76ers. And you were actually just at shoot-around, were you not?
I'm at Target Center right now, sitting by the court.
And what's the news from the shoot-around?
Well, kind of more specifically, the news is related to the Sixers, who have been dealing with a lot of injuries. Joel Embiid has missed their last two games, and Robert Covington has also missed their last game or two. And TJ McConnell, who's their backup point guard, has also been missing the game, so all three of those players are left as game-time decisions right now, according to Brett Brown, we just talked to. But he said he's more concerned about McConnell and Covington than he is about Embiid. So kind of our vibe around here is that it seems like Embiid is for sure the most likely to play. If I was to bet, I would say he is playing. You know, maybe there's something to the point of wanting to grow his brand, and it's a national TV game against Karl Towns. I think he kind of would do everything he could to play, and the coaching staff is behind him. Like, there's no crucial injury going on. He just had some back tightness that held him out the last game. So I would guess that he plays, and then McConnell and Covington are kind of more questionable, but they're both important too. Obviously, Joel Embiid's the team's best player, but Covington and McConnell are really important too. Covington's been shooting the ball great from three this year. Speaking of Kawhi, and two-way players, Covington is their version of Kawhi, and McConnell's really important to them too as the backup point guard. Ben Simmons has had to take all the lead ball handling duties the past few games with McConnell out, and Brett Brown is just talking about how that really hurts their rotation not having McConnell. So having him back too would be big, but I also just talked to McConnell, and he said that it's a pain issue that he just doesn't know until right before the game when he starts getting up shots if he can even make his shot work. So,
and I assume
we will see on that.
I assume on the Timberwolves side of things that it's just kind of the assumption that Embiid is going to play, and that's what they're kind of working with right now.
Yeah, Thibodeau kind of called it a plan A, plan B thing, but I think they just kind of accept it that you have a plan for Embiid. Obviously it changes up the way in which you play, but it's not really like football with a starting quarterback and backup quarterback that you can totally shift your game plan. I mean, for the Wolves, it's just Embiid's out there. They got to be intentional about defending him, of course, and that will affect the game, but it doesn't like totally shift the way in which they play. It's not like the Sixers don't have other very good players who can, you know, score and defend too. Like obviously Ben Simmons is a huge piece for them as well.
And was there any discussion of like this is a kind of a statement game for Towns maybe to show what he's got against probably the premier center in the league, I would say. I know Boogie Cousins I would still probably rank above Embiid just because of the body of work he has. But as far as just attention and the people paying attention to him, this is a really premier matchup for Towns. Was there any kind of feeling that maybe there's a little pressure on Towns just going into this game, or are they just attacking as this is just another game we got to win?
Yeah, we talked to Towns, and that's exactly what he said. He's like, if y'all want to blow it up to this big rivalry between me and Embiid and the Wolves and the Sixers, you can. But he did the platitudes of, you know, next game, and it's just another one that we need to prepare for and all of that. So whether that's exactly what he believes or not, I don't know. I'm not inside of his head, but he harped on that like three separate times. Like, well, if you guys want to blow this up, you can. But it's just another game. I would think as a 22-year-old, it would only be natural for him to, you know, to want to do well against Embiid. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I think that's good too that you want to be, you want to test yourself against one of the best guys at your position in the league, and you want to outplay him, and that's part of the game, is to have that competition, not just team against team, but on the position level.
I'm actually writing about that for tomorrow. I was going to post after this game, kind of see what happens. But I don't think that they play the same position. Is what I've gathered this season is that Towns is functionally the power forward. He's guarded by power forwards. He plays like a power forward. And Embiid is your classic center. I mean, maybe you want to call Towns a 4.5 and Embiid a 5, but they're definitely different. They're definitely different players, you know. And so there's that.
So do you think that on defense you see a little more Taj against Embiid than Towns as a result of that?
Sorry, a little bit of noise here at Target Center.
No, that's okay. You're on site. You're on site.
I am. I think the lunch is being delivered right now. I do think you'll see that with Gibson. I mean, that's what we've seen this year. It's not exclusively one way or the other. There's obviously switches that happen, but it can go both ways. Is more so what my point is. Is Towns is not exclusively guarding the bigger player there, or the post player. I do think we'll see Taj Gibson on Embiid, and as a post defender, Taj is more sound there. If you were me as a coach, that would make sense to me to have Gibson there. And then, I mean, you're going to already need to be doubling down on him, or, you know, at least shading that way. So I think you just use Gibson's strength to try and, you know, keep Embiid out of getting those bunnies around the basket, hope to make him work in the mid-range where he's great too, but I think he's just a stronger interior defender than Towns, and also a stronger person. So I would say that would probably be the primary matchup for Embiid defensively.
We're going to get to the rest of the matchups in this 76ers game in a little bit here, as well as later on we're going to get to a wheeling and dealing segment where Dan and I talk about trades that are being discussed around the NBA, trades we think could go down. That will be discussed in that segment, but that will all come after these messages. All right, so we have the 76ers in the building. What is the play here defensively? We've mentioned with you, with other guys on the podcast, about how the defense for the Timberwolves has struggled kind of defending the perimeter as of late. Is the play here to try and really flood the perimeter, or do you not want to be as concerned about the perimeter because of how good Embiid and Ben Simmons are in the paint area and in that kind of intermediate shot range? Do you want to be more concerned about what they're doing closer to the basket because of the way those guys are around the rim?
So the Sixers offense is weird. It's like
it's a strange thing to defend.
Yeah, you know how when you were growing up and your coach was always saying, don't jump up in the air and make a pass, because if it's not there, you're going to land and travel?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
The Sixers do that every possession. It's like they look for penetration, And a lot of the times, you know, it's there. Simmons can get it all the way to the rim and do that, but their offense functions on penetration. They seem to hit a wall and then pivot in midair to kick it back out to the perimeter, where they have, you know, Redick and Covington, two very good three-point shooters, and then kind of the action spurs over again. So it really just functions very, very differently than the Wolves game. So I would just say to a fan, you know, watching the game tonight, it's just you're watching two very different styles of offense. There's way more passing in the Sixers offense. They across the board, literally lead the league in physical passes this season. But they do it in a funny way, and particularly when Embiid is out, which even if he's playing, he's not going to play all 48 minutes, of course. So there's just a ton of ball movement, kind of until they get to the rim, until they get a three, or until they get it to Embiid. And so it's tricky. It's going to require the proverbial string of defense for the Wolves, and that's what it's always about. Is it's about not breaking the string and letting something come through there. All players playing connected together on defense, and if you do that well, it's very possible to stop the Sixers offense. It's not, they have good players, but it's not like elite functionally. They turn the ball over a lot. So to win the game and slow the Sixers offense down, I think is less about one specific area. It's just about that team concept defensively. Hold your own to your spots. They're going to make some threes. Simmons is going to get to the bucket and score, and B's going to do his thing down low. But, you know, be consistent 90% of the possessions defensively, and you're in a good spot. That's what Taj was talking about at practice yesterday. He's like, the defense we run works. It's just not consistent. It's functionally sound, but when there's those lapses, there's that disconnect, there's that break of the string we talk about, then it's easy. It's layups. It's open threes. And so it's really about every single possession running down there and being committed, you know, to defense, not being tired, being just as engaged on the defensive end as the offensive end.
And that's really the key, too, is because you talk about how the 76ers offense is good, but it's not infallible. Really, it's about tonight, I think, is a lot about which offense can just get into the rhythm more frequently throughout the night, as opposed to maybe which defense stands up. I think this is going to be an incredibly high-scoring game.
You know, it could be, but the Sixers, Joel Embiid's like arguably one of the best defenders in the NBA. You know, it's going to be, flip it around. It's going to be hard for, you know, Jimmy Butler to get all the way to the basket, for Jeff Teague to get all the way to the basket. Having that rim defender in Embiid, you know, it inherently pushes your shots back that you're going to be taking. Teague's going to be more apt to take those floaters and mid-range shots than his scoop shot all the way at the rim, you know. It's a huge factor having someone that big and that skilled as a shot blocker there. You know, so I think it will adjust the Wolves' offense a little bit. It doesn't need to stop it, but it will have an effect on the way in which it is played. And I don't know. I mean, it could be high scoring, but I wouldn't. I don't know. I guess I wouldn't just anticipate it being high scoring. But then again, the Wolves' defense has not been great, so they might give up a lot of points.
Well, and if you can get guys like Butler or Teague driving to the basket, if you can just get some defenders on the 76ers on their heels and give guys like Andrew Wiggins open shots on the outside and he starts knocking down some shots. I know he hasn't been great as of late hitting shots from outside, but if you're just willing to...
He's got to shoot it.
Yeah, if you're just willing... I really feel like if you just give him a few chances and weather some misses, he's going to shoot himself into a bit of a streak, and he just hasn't had the opportunity to do that the last few games. But if he gets that chance, then this could be pretty high scoring, just because I think there's a way to attack the 76ers where you leave some guys open on the outside. And then on the other side, the Timberwolves, I feel like with the amount that the 76ers pass the ball and just with the way they've played the perimeter, there's definitely going to be open shots for the 76ers as well. So I think it's just going to be a matter of who can get their guy hot quickly.
Yeah, and Wiggins has to shoot those on the perimeter, because, again, to the Embiid point, is like if you're passing up that three to go attack the basket, Embiid's going to be there, you know. It's not that Wiggins can't finish on Embiid or can't come in and hit a mid-range jump shot, but oftentimes that lightly contested three is going to be the best look that the Wolves can get points per possession. I know, like you mentioned, Wiggins is struggling from three recently, but he's still got to put that up because, you know, if you're getting the shot up there, then there's not going to be a turnover. You know, there's
– Well, and he's struggling, but – He's struggling, but he's the last game they played, he only took three shots from range. I mean, I think you have to let him have a couple misses before he starts hitting, and only three shots, you're not really going to get hot from outside with only three shots. Not if you're a Wiggins guy, maybe if you're Curry.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, the same page. It's like, you look at the first 10 games of the season, I think Andrew Wiggins shot 68 threes, so it's, you know, almost seven a game there. And now, yeah, like you mentioned, it's the status quo has been about three from deep at this part of the season, and you got to bump that volume up. Those are good shots. It opens up so much more if he's a threat to shoot that. We saw at the beginning of the year he was shooting really deep threes, if you remember.
Yep.
And that's huge too. You're just pulling the defense away even further, like. Get those threes up, man. Wiggins has a very sound form jump shot. Shoot the three. That's my biggest thing with him, particularly. That's how the volume of threes goes up.
And then I was watching the, and I know that Embiid wasn't in this game, so it makes it a little differently, or it makes it a little different. But against the Pelicans, the 76ers were really sticking with them, really giving them a good game, and then the Pelicans started knocking down threes at the beginning of that fourth quarter, and Drew Holiday started really feeling it. Even Anthony Davis knocked down a three, and all of a sudden they're down by 11, 12 points, and then the passing, it got a little tighter on the 76ers side of things. They felt like every possession had a little more weight to it, and they passed a little less on every possession, and that's really when they got into a bad situation. So if the Wolves can get to an 8-10 point lead at the beginning of the fourth quarter and maybe put a little pressure on some of these young guys to feel like every possession is really important, then I think that's where you put the 76ers offense in a real funk.
Yeah, I think the Sixers are young, man. They're not like a fine-tuned machine. And so they're the type of team where if you go on a run on them, it's going to affect them. They're going to play worse. Their offense will become stagnant. They'll think about it more. They're young players, so a great way to go on a run is to get hot shooting, and you can only get hot shooting if you shoot it. So yeah, to that Pelicans game too, I watched that, and yeah, they were shooting a ton of threes. Drew Holiday shot eight. I mean, every player who played for them in meaningful minutes shot a three in that game, and to have every player be a threat from deep is huge. So you know, even Taj Gibson, Gorgui Dieng, like if you're open from three, catch that and shoot it from three. It's going to open up the offense. It's going to open up those isolations for Wiggins and Butler, and those post touches for Towns. When they're going to come double down on Towns, there's got to be shooters around there ready to spot up. Then they won't be able to afford to double Towns down there, and then you got money post ups with Towns. So it just opens up so much. It's been one of the more frustrating things for me this year is just the lack of threes.
This is a game too where Jamal Crawford could really be solid, or really be a good piece if he's feeling it from outside. That could be a really nice piece off the bench if he starts getting hot.
Yeah, man, Jamal's a big part of this team, and I mean, something we haven't talked about on this specific podcast is the short rotations. It was funny today. Today Brett Brown was like, "Yeah, I've noticed that Tom's been pretty frugal with his minutes he's allowing his bench to play," and we were all like, "Frugal, that's a good term. That's true.
That's but yeah, that's very politically correct term."
I know we all laughed a little bit, but yeah, just with Crawford, Jang, and Tyus being the three players coming off the bench, you need one of those three guys to have a game to win. I think if you have all three of them muted in a game, it's going to be tough to rely on the starters to get you enough, you know? And so Crawford can be that guy. I think Gorgie's played really well recently, confidently shooting his shot, and defensively, I think he's been really sound too. So you get two of those guys that have a very good game. I feel very good about the Wolves' odds to win, specifically in a home game tonight.
Alrighty, so that's going down tonight. Definitely watch that game because it'll be really great. A lot of stars in that one, and it should be a pretty tight back and forth matchup with a lot of scoring and a lot of outside shooting. We're going to get to the wheeling and dealing part of the podcast after these messages. We do this, I think, pretty much every week, every Tuesday since we've started talking on the Locked On Wolves podcast. We talk about trades, whether it comes up naturally or just because I think you and I just like to talk trades back and forth. But now I decided to make it an official part of the show. Wheeling and dealing. There's been a lot of talk of LeBron James going to the Rockets lately. It wasn't a story a month ago, but it's been a story the last week or so. What are your just thoughts just initially on that? Just going in cold, LeBron James to the Rockets. What do you think when that comes to the topic of conversation?
Unlikely. I mean, it's just so hard to finagle. And I know, Colton, you're going to go into the salary cap on this a little bit. But you can't draw a one-to-one parallel between LeBron going to the Rockets and Kevin Durant going to the Warriors. Obviously, we know that Durant was able to go to Golden State because there was that unprecedented massive spike in the salary cap that made it possible for Golden State to clear max cap space for a player like Durant to sign there. With LeBron, it's going to be tough. The Rockets have Chris Paul and James Harden on big deals, and I mean, Paul's going to be looking for another big deal next year. So it's not going to be easy for them to make it work. Obviously, the idea of that sounds freaking sweet. Like, that would be so fun to see that Rockets team go up against the Warriors if they had LeBron, but there's just a lot of finagling required to make that happen.
Yeah, I was messing around with some of the cap stuff beforehand, and then I know I plugged them already, but SB Nation, there was a really great article on them and on what it would take to get LeBron there. Right now, the Rockets are going to be about $46 million over the cap next year, and so they're going to already have to make some moves just to get their cap situation right. And basically, the long and short of it is that they would have to burn almost everything that's non-essential to try and get LeBron there if he's willing to take a hit to his salary. They'd have to burn everything except and then they'd have Harden, Capella, Eric Gordon, and Chris Paul would basically be their only players left on the team, essentially, to get LeBron in on a fixed salary. Or you could get rid of an Eric Gordon or a Clint Capella in some sort of trade packaging together with stuff. The one part is that I'm not sure Ryan Anderson, who has a really big contract, I'm not sure if anybody's going to want to take on his contract. And the other thing too is that if you have to lose Eric Gordon, that's a really important piece to this team. Like, he's really essential, and he's already throughout this season won them a couple games. I'm thinking back to the opening night when they played the Warriors. For a stretch during the third quarter, he was the only guy making shots and being the difference. And against the 76ers, I think 3-4 weeks ago that was, he was really important in that game too to keep them in against the 76ers. I mean, I don't know if you want to give up everything. And then if you do have to give up everything, would LeBron want to go to that team that's just been basically shelled out?
Yeah, just the thing I think of is LeBron would probably win him more games than Eric Gordon would because he's better. But yeah, it's more so the idea of while it would be great to have Harden, Chris Paul, and LeBron there, you do need to fill out the rest of the roster. And that's what's kind of brilliant about the Warriors. Again, that's who we're kind of pinning them against, is they have so many functional role players around their stars. And that's what makes that team truly elite. Like, obviously they'd be great with those four players, but to be able to function around them is big. And We saw the Rockets go out and get some meaningful pieces, and P.J. Tucker with the mid-level exception this year, Bam Mute signed for the minimum. And there's always ways to kind of do that. You always can probably find your veteran ring chasers. But again, yeah, they would lose a lot in Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson, and or just a point there with Clint Capella is he's a restricted free agent this offseason. And that, I mean,
they're
going
to have to
LeBron,
pay him if he stays around.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I'm assuming they'll probably let him test the market, and then they'll have the option to match that or not. And deciding to match it will probably be dependent on what other pieces they can get LeBron or otherwise, and that's going to kind of be an opportunity cost that they're going to have to weigh there. I think one thing too, when I was reading all this, is like the Rockets are already really good. Like, that's already
the West.
Very fun. Yeah, that's going to be a super fun Western Conference Finals. I mean, if all things go to plan between the two of them, the Rockets have a great team right now. And they have that 3-point shooting up their sleeve that if they're making a good percentage of those shots at a high volume, it's dangerous. And it almost is like there's nothing you can do if they're going to shoot 45 threes and make half of them. Like, how do you even keep pace with that, you know? And so what this Rockets team has been about the whole time with this new system is we're hoping to get hot 4 out of 7 games in the playoffs against the Warriors. And if they get really hot for 4 games, they could beat the Warriors.
Yeah. Well, and to your earlier point too, like I don't see this trade happening because they would have to, if LeBron goes to the Rockets, he's doing it to get because he thinks they have a really, really good shot at winning a ring. And the amount that they would have to destroy that roster to get him on it might be enough to where either all the starters are playing 46 minutes a game or they don't really have a great roster to build. Obviously, Gordon isn't as good as LeBron James, but you need those B guys around the All-Stars to keep them going throughout the regular season. And to your point about how good the Rockets are now, were we super robbed last year by not having the Rockets play the Warriors? And then not only that, but then Kawhi Leonard gets hurt, so now it's not even a great Spurs-Warriors series. Was that the biggest robbery of all time? Or maybe it takes just second seed to Brock Osweiler and what he did to the Texans.
I think that Kawhi, I would have really liked to see that 7 games of healthy Kawhi. I think the Spurs just bring something unique. There's some historical evidence to the idea that they have an idea of a way in which to kind of at least keep pace with the Warriors that gives them problems. I'm more excited about a Rockets-Warriors series this year, though. Obviously, the added piece of Chris Paul. I think the glimmer has started to fade off of him a little bit this year, and I don't think that's necessarily fair. That guy is still...
He's played really well.
Yeah, dude, he's an elite point guard, and it's funny how these players get a little bit older and we're quick to dismiss them.
Well, and he's done a great... He's done a great job. He's done a great job sliding next to Harden without taking away from Harden. Like, the other night, I think he had like 12 minutes and 10 assists. Like, he's just doing a great job filling in where he's needed and playing next to Harden as opposed to trying to take over Harden's spot. And that is not something I anticipated going so well, especially this early in the season.
Yeah, that's great. If I'm a Rockets fan, you're loving to see that Paul is in this. He seems to kind of have set his ego aside to some extent and believes in the fact that for them to be truly great, it's going to require it being both of their teams, not his team. And we know in LA, kind of playing with Blake Griffin, is he was kind of unwilling to give up the top of the totem pole there to Griffin at any time, and maybe that had some cultural issues throughout that organization. But I would say he hasn't been an issue at all for the Rockets. He's maybe not surprisingly just made them a far better team.
No, yeah, it's they're a really good team right now, and I think I speak for both of us when I say that LeBron is not going to end up in a Rockets jersey.
I'm excited for the Wolves to play the Rockets. When is that game? That you know, like the Wolves are playing all these like mediocre kind of teams, like the Sixers, you know, who are 500. Like I'm excited for the Wolves to get the Celtics in the beginning of January. I'm not sure exactly when the Rockets game is. Even like the Bucks, I think, will be interesting at the end of the month. You know, there haven't been very many games where it's like the Wolves were clearly the worst team. You know, like even Oklahoma City is like, yeah, those two teams are pretty close. Really, the only game was the Warriors, where you're like, okay, yeah, they're a way better team, because like the Spurs, the Wolves beat the Spurs because they didn't have Kawhi. Like I think the Spurs are still a better team than the Wolves, but. You know, I'm just looking forward to the Wolves getting a shot to play some of these juggernauts. And we keep talking about how they play down to their competition. You know, they'll struggle against the Suns. They'll leave the Mavericks in the game. It's going to be interesting to see if they can ramp it up to play with the teams that are better than them, playing up to the competition.
I'm terrified of the Rockets. I might pee a little when the Rockets come to town. I'm not going to lie to you. They scare me so much. That's a James Harden is playing like he's personally offended that he didn't get the MVP last year, which he should have.
Oh, I'm totally on that boat, and this year seems to be some vindication there with Russ is in a similar situation, adding on two star players, I guess, but there's been far more of an adjustment in Oklahoma City to making that work than there has been in Houston to making Chris Paul work in there. I think it was almost a blessing in disguise to have Chris Paul go down early. It kind of just asserted that, you know, this is still James's team. Whereas in Oklahoma City, there's been, you know, more of this confusion, like baton passing of like, hey, who's going to take it now? Who's going to take it now? And as you know, Colton, I'm an Oklahoma City believer. I think they are going to get the 4 seed in the West when it's all said and done. But
I don't know. The Wolves might be able to wrap this up.
I was talking with Chase Frederick today, and I was like, "How much would you bet that it's the 4 or 5 seed is Oklahoma City Wolves?" Like, I'm pretty sure that's going to be the first round playoff series. Like, it doesn't seem like anybody's getting into that top three, and of Golden State, Houston, San Antonio. And then Oklahoma City and Minnesota are just far more talented than a Denver, Portland, Utah, even, you know, New Orleans-type team. It just seems like I think there's a class of Oklahoma City and Minnesota before you kind of get to the rest of the playoff contenders in the West. Maybe I'm on an island there.
I think that would be the best-case scenario for – maybe I'm just naive because they've beat the Thunder a couple times this season, but I think that might be the best case scenario for the Timberwolves if they had a first round playoff of the Thunder. Just because if I'm looking at the other teams in the playoffs right now, I don't know, the Trailblazers, if they stay in there and they somehow end up playing the Trailblazers in the first round, Damian Lillard, just the stuff he does in the fourth quarter is kind of worrisome against the Timberwolves defense in the fourth quarter. The Jazz just have such a good defense, and Donovan Mitchell's just balling out. I think the Thunder might be their best matchup in the first round that you could ask for.
I'm not gonna go that far. I would rather play Portland or Utah or Denver than Oklahoma City. I think the playoffs are a different beast that, you know, is able to accentuate the individual players' greatness, and the Thunder have at least two great players. Maybe Melo, if he's engaged too, is a third. I would prefer to play any of those other teams than the Thunder. Obviously, it'd be better to get in that 4 or 5 seed with the Thunder than playing the Spurs, the Rockets, or the Warriors. I mean, that might be a sweep if they get any of those teams. But I think that the Thunder would be the next hardest competition, in my opinion.
Maybe. Denver, you're right. Denver would be a good one to play as well. I don't know. I could just see, too, Melo just thinking, this is my playoffs. This is the time for me to shine, and just sinks the Oklahoma City boat.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah, I don't know. He's tough, man. It's like, everyone likes
I just want Hoodie Melo back. I miss the summer when I believed in Hoodie Melo, and it was just a safe thing for me to love.
But can everyone acknowledge the fact that Hoodie Melo has never played in the NBA?
No, and that's what makes me so sad. Hoodie Melo's my favorite. Hoodie Melo's my Superman.
Yeah, but what is Hoodie Mello? It's just
Hoodie Mello is a man. Hoodie Mello is the hero that we deserve, but not the one we need right now. That's what Hoodie Mello is.
Yeah, well, maybe that's a Hoodie Mello sounds like a good basketball player. I'm not sure about Carmelo Anthony.
I just have, yeah, exactly. We've never seen him in the NBA. Same with Olympic Mello. We've never seen him in the NBA either.
God, the media, and we give them these names. I don't know what they quite mean, but
Dane is all sorts of shook narrative. Right now.
Yeah, narratives. But what do you, Colton? What do you think in the result is tonight? Let's assume Embiid plays.
If Embiid plays, it's going to be a 127-118 76ers win.
What's the spread on the game, or is it even on the board?
Oh, that's a excellent question. You give me your. I'm going to look that up right now. You give me your score, your estimate.
Well, I would guess that the Wolves will probably be 4-point favorites in that game. I think it's 4.5. Right now it says they're 4.5-point favorites. I'm going to say the Wolves win by 6. Let's go 104-98. Wolves over Sixers.
104-98, you say, huh? A 4.5 spread. 215 is the over-under for the gamblers interested. Wolves are a -200 on the money line. Interesting. How bad is it if I throw money at the 76ers as the host of the Lockdown Wolves podcast?
Hey, man, I'm so no shade at that. The Sixers are my my second favorite team to watch. That's if there's a team I watch the most on League Pass, it is the 76ers. They're a fun team. They got interesting characters on that squad, and they play hard. I think they have a really good coach in Brett Brown. They're a good team. I mean, that's who I'm cheering for in the East when the playoffs come around.
Alrighty, well, you heard it here first. Those are our two predictions. You can tweet at us later tonight. Tell us how wrong or correct we were. That's all, Dane. Thanks for calling in from the location, from on site.
Yeah, they're setting up the court right now. I'm looking at it. I'm sorry, listeners, if there was some background noise. I don't know, nothing I can do.
Go steal me a basketball. That's it for us here at Lockdown Wolves. This has been another Lockdown Wolves podcast, part of the Lockdown Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.